we go.
Can you hear me? Oh, that's good. Good morning. Welcome to Bethel Gospel Chapel this morning. And we want to give you a hearty welcome this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. I see there is, was talking to Bob this morning. He's here from all the way from Nova Scotia, Halifax, close to. Welcome. This morning, we're going to continue in the study of Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. By the way, I just want to thank Dave for and the musicians this morning, especially selecting all those nice hymns concerning our subject this morning. It's wonderful to sing these hymns that the hymn writers write about the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness of sin. If you are here this morning in the early service, that we were remembering the Lord, the remembrance service, half of my sermon is already preached. Because the different brethren got up, and especially when Paul was opening, he didn't take Mark chapter 2, but he went to Matthew chapter 9. It's the same story there. So he explained a little bit about the forgiveness of sin this morning. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12 this morning. And the bulletin, if you have one, it says there the title, Who Can Forgive Sin? Who can forgive sin? And that is what we're going to be looking at this morning from this incident that took place in the life of the Lord Jesus in his ministry. So what I did, I was asking Steve McPhail to stand up and read this passage from chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Steve, please. That's okay. Thank you. when Frank opened the Gospel of Mark a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned the uniqueness of Mark's Gospel from Matthew, Luke, and John. And last week, Conrad from Capilano was here, and he took some verses from chapter 1, and he also emphasized who King Jesus was, and also the authority that the Lord Jesus had. And chapter 2, we continue in his ministry. So chapter 1, when we looked at it, we can see Jesus and his message. Chapter 1 and verse 14, for instance, it says there, Jesus, what John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that was his message. And it says there, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel was the good news. It says the good news has come, but the good news also has condition. And he says, repent and believe the gospel. So we see that Jesus and his, not only his message, in the following verses that we see that Jesus and his men, he calls these fishermen to be his disciples. And he says, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. And they were diligent men because they were engaged in fishing. And they were not only diligent men, but they were decisive men because they were occupied. They were not sitting idly by the wayside and laughing at people that are going by. They were busy. And they were also disciplined men that the Lord Jesus called. And that's what the Lord needs from each one of us. We had to be diligent. We had to be decisive, and we had to be disciplined if we were going to follow the Lord Jesus. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. And he noticed that immediately when he called them, they left their net, what they were doing, and they followed the Lord Jesus. And those two words, especially in chapter 1 and chapter 2, immediately and straight away, when Frank opened the book and he mentioned that, it is everything is right away, immediately. And I counted all that. I found about 12 of them in chapter 1 and chapter 2. So we not only find Jesus and his message and his men, but we also see Jesus and his ministry. And we also see his miracles. So far, in chapter 1, he has healed the man with an unclean spirit. That is in verse 26 of chapter 1. He also healed Peter's son-in-law. That's in chapter 1 and verse 31. He also healed the leper in chapter 1 and verse 42. And in verse 39 of the same that we find, he cast out devils. So far, the Lord Jesus has done those things that we see in chapter 1. So here from chapter 2 verses 1 to 12, we see the address of the preacher. I know some of you are taking notes, so I'm going to have 7 points on these things, and they all start with the letter A. First of all, address of the preacher. Secondly, action of the friends of the paralytic man. And thirdly, the authority of the Lord to forgive. And then fourthly, we see the attitude of the scribes. Then we see the answer of the Savior. And then we found the awesomeness, the greatness of our God. And then finally, point number 7, we see the amazement of the crowd. So, verse 1, we start with and say, the Lord entered into Capernaum, or the right pronunciation is Capernaum. And the English translation is Capernaum. Either way, it is right. But you know what? This city, the Lord done more work in Capernaum than any other place. Because if you go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and it'll say, let's for a minute, let's turn there. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, it says there, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Can you imagine that? And I'm just wondering, isn't there is a parallel that we see, especially in our Western world? For all the things that the good Lord has done and blessed us, why there is so little response to the Lord Jesus and his claims? Is that because, just like the children of Israel, we were, the Lord has blessed us with a lot of good things, but we don't respond to him? And that's why the Lord Jesus rebuked Capernaum and say, if all the work that I did in your town, Sodom and Gomorrah will have turned to me. It will be remain until now. So, and when Paul read this morning from Matthew chapter 9, he says there, he came to his own town, his own city. That was Capernaum. That was his headquarters. You see? And I think we should take heed that what the Lord has done to each one of us, and we should respond in obedience and in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. And you notice that his presence, and he says there, three things I just want to mention this morning. First of all, the Lord visited homes. Isn't that strange? It's just like, unlike our politicians today or any of the leaders, if we want to see them, where? We had to go where they are. They don't come to your house. But look at the difference in our Lord Jesus. He visited homes. And he met their need. And the second thing I want you to notice is, unlike many preachers today, he preached the word. It says there, and you know, like, I mean, many of you turn to the TV for, the preachers. There is a lot of them. But you know, you hear a lot of philosophy, a lot of psychology. There's a lot of sociology. There's a lot of other worldly things from the preachers today. But the Lord Jesus was different. He preached the word. Why? because the word has power. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 reminds us that the word of God is quick and powerful, and it can transform your life and my life. It is able to penetrate into the soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and it is discerned. And that is the powerful word of God. You know, it's interesting to see in the early church, book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we read that those who were persecuted, they were scattered abroad. And what did they do? Everywhere they went, they preached the word. They preached the word. And this is the Lord Jesus, who was the greatest preacher of all, and yet he was ministering to the needs of the people. And that is the key words from Mark's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 45. Frank brought before us, he said, the Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life and the ransom for all. That was the purpose that he came. So the Lord not only visited homes, but he preached the word. I just want to mention one thing here, and you notice that this home was open to the Lord Jesus, and he was present there. And there is a little challenge for all of us. How is your home? How is my home? Is it open to the Lord Jesus? Or we just sometimes don't have time. We say, no, I'm too busy. I don't know. But this home was open to the Lord Jesus. You know what? Home is where the Lord is. And that's, it's important to each one of us, especially those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. Home is where the Lord is. And you notice that it says there, so many were gathered together. For what? Did they gather together for hear the music? Or to be entertained? Or some other activity? No. They wanted to hear the Lord and also wanted to see what he is going to do. And that's why they gathered together. And you know, many of the churches today that we find, people flock together to be entertained. And many places they do that. But here at Bethel, as you've been coming here for a while, you know that we always want to present the Word of God and the Lord Jesus as the Savior of mankind to each one of us. It's quite different today, isn't it? Not too many want to listen into the Lord. And I'm sure you probably have some experience with this. You talk to people about your faith or about the Bible or about God. He says, no. You keep your religion yourself. Don't shove it down my throat. If you want to believe that, you believe. But that's the attitude of the society that we are living in, isn't it? Not too many want to listen to this. So verse 2 says, so many were gathered together. And I just want to briefly mention this morning, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, I just want to mention this quickly. You probably have heard this, some of it from me before. You know, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, we are all framed together in the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21. We are also builded together in the Lord Jesus. That's 2:22. Chapter 4 and verse 16 reminds us that we are joined together in the Lord Jesus, if you are a believer. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2 reminds us, you and I are knit in the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing the Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he says, you and I are serving together the Lord Jesus. And number 6, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, we are forced together of the Lord Jesus. And finally, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Thessalonians, he says, there is a day coming, you and I going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And that is when he returns for you and for me, and to take us home to be with him forever. So just 7 little things just for your hip pocket. So this was the mission of the early church too. If you read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, or 41 to 47, it says there, they were all together. And what they were, first of all, they were magnifying the Lord Jesus. Secondly, they had membership together in the church. And thirdly, they had ministry in the church. And fourthly, they had a vision and a mission, because they wanted to spread the good news of the Lord Jesus to all around the world where they're living in. And that is why the Lord Jesus told them, you wait here until you receive power, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. And that's what they did. And in the book of Acts chapter 17, we read that about the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and they were accusing them, these are the men that turn the world upside down. Look at their enthusiasm, because they were living in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. And the scripture exhorts us this morning, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, as some is, but exhort one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So, we have the example and the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to be together, assembling together, to promote each one of us to love, to provoke us to good works. Now, you notice that here is a little change of scene. Here is the Lord Jesus, and thanks to this leper who was healed in chapter 1 at the end of chapter, the Lord told him, when he healed him, he said, don't tell anybody. And guess what? He did the opposite. It says there, he went in verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much. In other words, he was broadcasting the whole thing. He said, hey, look what happened to me. The Lord Jesus healed me and I'm cured. He says there, and to blaze abroad the matter much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every corner. The Lord Jesus was attracting people from every corner, and people came to him. Now here, we have all these people gathered together in the house, and here is four men carrying a man in a bed, bringing him. What was their purpose? Somehow, they wanted to get this paralytic man in the presence of the Lord Jesus. So here, we call this the six pack. The four guys that carrying the paralytic guy, the paralytic guy five, and there is the Lord Jesus. It's known as the four amigos. They're bringing this guy in a bed. So some people call it the concerned quartet or the concerned companions. Someone has nicknamed these four friends sympathy, cooperation, originality, and persistence. So we're going to look at, first of all, the condition of the man. He was paralytic. In other words, he couldn't do anything himself. He was helpless. So is the condition of every sinner. See, when you are a sinner, if your sins are not forgiven and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you cannot walk before the Lord, before God. You are helpless. And that's what the condition of this man was. Secondly, we see the concern of the companions. And thirdly, we see the compassion of the Savior. And fourthly, we see the consternation of his enemies, the scribes and the Pharisees. And then we see the cure of the man. And then we see the commission from the Lord Jesus to this man. And seven, finally, we see the celebration of the amazement of the crowd. So as I mentioned, this man could not do anything for himself. Four guys had to carry him into the presence of the Lord. And you know, notice that what it says there, when the Lord saw their faith, whose faith? The people that carried the guy. And you would think, because of their faith, that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave his sins. No. They had enough faith in the Lord Jesus to bring this man into the presence of the Lord that they believed that he could heal him. And he also, the man, ought to have faith in order to come to the Lord's presence, isn't it? He was willing. And he had faith. He believed that the Lord could heal him. So here is another seven or eight things. We see their compassion. These were the all four men. They were men of compassion. They were not only men of compassion, they were men of concern. And they were men of care. They cared for their friend, the paralytic man. And we see their conviction, because they were convicted in their own soul that they should bring this man to the Lord Jesus. And if you had to carry that guy into this house, you had to believe that they have real confidence in themselves. And they also had courage, because what happened when they came to the house? Because the crowd was all around, they couldn't even get to the presence of the Lord. They couldn't even get to the door. So what they did? They went outside on the stairwell. They climbed up on the roof and they took the tiles off. That takes courage, isn't it? If you had to do that, and they were not only had confidence, but they also had courage and they had a commitment. They were committed to this task, weren't they? And if you know the Middle Eastern houses, they were made of clay tiles, and you can remove it and put them back. And I was just thinking, the owner of this house, if that was your house or my house, what you would do? Oh, trespassing my property. If it is in the United States, they probably go and get the gun. And if it is in Canada, you'll file a complaint against the people that did it, violating your rights to your property. But look at the owner of this house. Did he say anything? He said, let them do whatever they want. And these men, not only of compassion and concern and care and conviction, confidence and courage and commitment, but they were also men of collaboration. All four together worked together, eh? Can you imagine in some of the church projects if we could do that all together? Because one says one thing and the other guy says, no, I don't agree with that. We can't do that. So what happens? We fail. But these were men of collaboration and cooperation. And they were also men of concentration. Regardless of what the condition was, the situation was, they were concentrating on their job. They wanted to get this man to the presence of the Lord. And you know what? All these are essential in the Lord's work. But the clay tiles had to be removed in order to experience the Lord's presence. And that is your job and my job as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. We have to, if we're going to bring people into the Lord's presence, we have to remove the clay tiles that are in front of us. When there are roadblocks in our way, we need to go higher to get help. That's what these people did. They went higher. And the other thing that you notice that all the areas of this house was open to the Lord Jesus. Not only the living room, the veranda, the outside, the stairwell, and even the roof. And the owner of the house didn't say a word. There's a challenge for you and me this morning. How is your life and my life? What area is close to the Lord? We sometimes, you know, like we can have tell the Lord, you can have the Sunday, you can have the Tuesday, you can have the Thursday, but Wednesday, Friday, Saturday is mine. Or some of the other stuff. Let me see where there is a little water in here. Oh, there is. Okay. Sorry. So, sometimes we all have a little compartments in our life that we don't want to give up to the Lord. But the challenge for all of us is every area of this house was open to the Lord. Now, next, I just want to give you, okay, here is the 7 points that what the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence meant to the crowd that day. Well, first of all, he noticed that there was the exhibition of fellowship. They were gathered together. That means fellowship, the word come from two fellows in one ship. You know, I have seen this because when I was a little boy, near our house, there was the paddy field was filled with water in the monsoon season, and the fishermen come and they sit there until when it gets dark in order to go for fishing. And there's two guys sitting in the same boat, the fishermen, and you should see the you hear the conversation and the things that they do, and they have supper there, and they talk about all kinds of things. So, because I could hear this one from our house, because it was just close to the house. So that's what it means. There was fellowship together, and the John's Gospel reminds us truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. First of all, there was exhibition of fellowship. Secondly, there was exercise of faith. We see that the faith that demonstrated in these people. And then thirdly, we see the experience of forgiveness. What did the Lord Jesus say when He saw this paralytic man? Thy sins are forgiven. And quite a bit of a talk this morning, which is easier, I think Luke and some of the others touched this morning, which is easier to say to the man. Well, the Pharisees were good in their doctrine. They knew their doctrine, because they knew that only God could forgive sins. So Jesus Christ told them, your sins are forgiven. Well, they were accusing Him, He's blaspheming. In their they were right, the Pharisees. But the thing that they didn't know was the one who said, thy sins are forgiven amongst them, was God. That's what they failed to recognize. To these people, the scribes and the Pharisees accusing the Lord Jesus, both are impossible, isn't it? He cannot tell it to them, your sins are forgiven, or take your bed and walk. Both are impossible, but you see, all things are possible with God. And the one amongst them standing or sitting in the midst of them was God Himself, the God-man. That is why we see, when Frank mentioned that verse in chapter 10 and verse 45, he says, the Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life as a ransom for many. So we see the exhibition of fellowship. We see the exercise of faith. We see the experience of forgiveness. And we also see the exposure of fault finding. And that is those scribes and Pharisees. And we also see the enlightenment of the falsehood, because he, you know, it says there, they didn't say anything this loudly because they thought this within themselves, but the Lord knew, didn't he? The Lord knew. And John's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 25, he says He knew man and what was in man, because why? He was God. So there was enlightenment of falsehood. And there is also enjoyment of fullness. What a joy that was for the crowd and for the paralytic man. to see this thing happen. And then we see the excitement in a new fashion. The challenge for us this morning as Christians and disciples of Christ and believers is anybody is amazed or excited by your life or my life? It should be, because as we mentioned, what a life that you and I share in the Lord Jesus. What excitement. There is no other life like this, the Christian life. So, I just want to briefly mention four things happen when King Jesus shows up. First of all, sins are forgiven. Okay? The psalmist Jeremiah 31 and 34, we read that I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. 1 John 1, 7 and 9, and the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalmist in Psalm 103, he says there, verse 3, he says there, the Lord who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. And the same chapter, Psalm 103 and verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So, sins are forgiven. And you know, the interesting thing is when the Lord forgives sins, he doesn't remember them anymore. And sin is the fundamental problem with humanity, and it is the forgiveness of sin is the lifeblood of the Christian faith. No other religion, I mentioned that last week, no other religions deal with that issue. There was a Baptist preacher who was preaching, and then there was a clock in the back of the pulpit. And that clock never kept time, because either it was fast or it was slow. So the deacons trying to adjust the hands of the clock from time to time, but it didn't work. So finally the preacher says, well, the problems lies deeper. It's not the hand that is the problem. There is something wrong with the mechanism of the clock, isn't it? And that is the same way with the humanity. Man is trying to fix all the problems, solve all of them, by adjusting few things here and there. But you know what? The problem lies deeper. And that is sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we are reminded, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And 6:23 reminds us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there was the one thing that we rejoiced this morning was, when the Lord forgives sins, it is free, it is full pardon, and it is final, because he never remembered them anymore. There was a bishop, Episcopal bishop. There is a lady came to him and said, last week I saw Jesus. So the bishop didn't believe her. So he asked her, well, next time you see Jesus, can you ask him, what was my biggest sin before I became the bishop? So the next week, the lady came. So the bishop asked her, "Did you ask the Lord Jesus what was my biggest sin?" She said, "Yes, I did." "And what did he say?" "He said he forgot. He doesn't remember your sin." And that's what we are reminded from Micah chapter 7 and verse 18 and 19. It says there, "Who is a God like unto thee that doeth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the people?" And in verse 19 it says there, "He cast down in the depths of the sea and he put a sign and say, no more fishing." So when the Lord forgives sins, it is final and it is full and it is free. Remember the Luke's Gospel chapter 7 and verse 41 and 42. There was a man that owned 500 pennies, and the other man owned 50. But with nothing to pay, it says he forgave them both, and it was free. So when King Jesus shows up, not only sins forgiven, but it's also healing happens. Burdens are removed because the Lord Jesus invited all those who, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 29, he says there, "All come unto me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will rest." Deliverance takes place. That's what we see here. So when Jesus shows up, things are different. We can't keep it a secret. God speaks, people get saved, and people live satisfied. Now here is this. Look at this man. This man, when he came in, he was paralyzed. When he left, he was praising God. When he came in, he was lying down. When he left, he was standing up. When he came in, he came in secretly through the roof. And when he left, he threw the open door. When he entered the house, he was a paralyzed sinner. When he left, he was a powerful saint. He was stressed out when he came in, but when he left, he was singing a song. What a difference that the Lord Jesus made in this man's life. And if you're here today, you do not know the Lord Jesus, that what the Lord Jesus can do for you. He can deliver you. He can forgive your sins. He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And because of that, and not only the man that came in, but what about the four men that carried this guy? What a pleasure, what joy filled their hearts for their persistence. And you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the Apostle Paul urged the believers, and he says, the Lord is the rewarder. So he says, he exhorts the believers to abound in the work of the Lord, that because the Lord recognize your labor and he will reward you and me. But you know the sad thing about all the whole thing? After witnessing all this, the Pharisees never accepted what the Savior had to offer. But they were trying to conspire against him to kill him. How about you and me? We have seen people that delivered from their sins, made a difference in their life, from delivered from alcoholism, from drugs, from all other things in their life, and yet people are not willing to believe what the Lord Jesus had to offer. Isn't that what John's gospel says? Light shineth in darkness, but darkness comprehended it not. This paralytic man should thank the Lord for his paralysis. You know why? Without the paralysis, he might probably never met the Lord Jesus. His paralysis was indeed a blessing. It was the beginning of eternal life to his soul. How many of us can testify to that experience and make our own? We have learned, or you have learned, wisdom by affliction. Bereavements in your life have proved the Lord's mercies. Losses have proved real gains. Sickness have led to the great physician, the Lord Jesus of soul. And just like David says, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. That is the experience that you and I have when we but what we see here, the four things that we see, we also see that the crowd, the hearing ones, we also see the helpless one, that is the paralytic man. We also see the helping ones, that is the people that carried him to the presence of the Lord Jesus. We also see the hindering ones, so that's the scribes sitting there. We also see the hapless ones. So they were not happy what was happening there, because they wanted to question the Lord Jesus, how can you forgive sins? We also see the paralyzed man who was healed by the Lord Jesus. We also see the perfect man, that was the Lord Jesus, and the perfected one. And then we see the crowds, the happy ones. Everybody was amazed what was happening in their midst. So may the Lord help each one of us to take these little notes from this and have not only apply to our daily lives, but live for the Lord Jesus. There is information here, there is also inspiration here, and there is should be a transformation in our life when we read the scriptures and study. And there is also practical application in your life and my life. Let's close the meeting in a word of prayer. Our blessed God and Father, we thank thee this morning for thy beloved Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee for Calvary this morning. We thank thee for the sacrifice he made on our behalf on the cross of Calvary to save sinners. And as we've been reminded from scriptures this morning, the Son of Man is come, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life as a ransom for many. And Father, if anyone here this morning does not know the grace of the Lord Jesus, not their sins forgiven, don't have pardon for their iniquities, may thy Holy Spirit continue to work in their heart. They might come to know the saving knowledge of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. and those of us who know him. May thy Spirit help each one of us to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus day by day, that we might be challenged and apply these principles, that we should be men of concern and compassion and care. And Father, we thank thee for the precious word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit who helps in our infirmities, and the grace and mercy of our God that keep us in the power of his life. Because he promises, because I live, you shall live also. The Apostle Paul could say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live now is by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, Father, we commend ourselves to thee and the word of thy grace this morning, asking thy richest blessing upon each one. For we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.